Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, this is Dr. Jody Lang talking to you from Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's a beautiful day today with a blue sky and a couple of clouds. The sun is out and shining brightly. And today we're really fortunate to have a guest with us, Loretta Thomas. And we're going to be speaking to her in just a little bit. Before I have her speak, I will do a little introduction from an article that was written in the Santa Fe, New Mexican last August to give you just a little insight, and then we're going to hear directly from her. And today's show is called Seasons of Our Life. And I decided, once Loretta and I talked about this show today, that, you know, there are many women and men out there that have had whispers with death. And Loretta being one of those, myself being another one, I thought, you know, this is really about seasons and people's lives. And so Loretta is our first guest in this new series with this radio show. So what I want to do, if you'll hand me that newspaper over there, Miss Loretta, I want to share with you a little bit about what the New Mexican had to say about her last August. This is after she had already been in the hospital a bit, and this is a quote from her. "The medical field was my profession. Culinary was my passion," she says. "Back in 2014, complications from surgery left Ms. Thomas with sepsis, which almost killed her. She says, I spent a year fighting for my life with 45 days on life support. I really shouldn't even be here today," she says. After Thomas recovered, she was left with compromised health and digestive issues. She'd been on a feeding tube for a year, unable to eat or to taste. As her feelings began to return, however, they were intensified. Her hyper-tuned palate made her hypersensitive to the fillers, the thickeners, and the nasty taste that are so often found in our food. So she took a look at her own cultural heritage and decided to look at the recipes that had been handed down from her grandmother and her great-grandmother and her great-great-grandmother way back in Spain. After that, she began to rebuild those recipes, or that's how I've heard her say it. She took those recipes to scratch, and she rebuilt them, as she puts it, with, quote, clean ingredients. For example, she replaced pinto beans in her cooking with white beans, which she describes as having a cleaner, less gritty, less earthy taste that allows the flavors of the blue corn. And we'll talk about that a little bit, since Loretta and I are both part of the New Mexican heritage of blue corn, what that is. Some of you may not even be familiar with it. And other ingredients to shine through, as well as making the tamales healthier overall. For Thomas, making tamales became a welcome distraction between doctor's appointments and stints in the hospital. Now, she says, they're a big part of her reason to live. She says, I started this because knowing that my health was compromised, I wanted to leave something behind, she says. I believe in the product, and I believe in my grandmother and my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother from Spain continuing to live through me. This, making these tamales, is part of my bucket list. When you reach my age, and she's not that old, but let's go with what it says here. When you reach my age, not too old, and with the health issues that I have, I need a reason to fight. We're going to talk about that more in depth today, what she means by fighting. She goes on to say, this is something that I believe with and in my whole heart to the marrow of my being. I hope I'm an inspiration to women and men with disabilities to show that with passion and inspiration, there is no limitation. End of quote from the New Mexican paper that last August 2018. And that's part of why I chose Loretta to be our first guest on this show, because she is talking about passion, inspiration, and she knows that there are no limitations, as many of you, our listeners today, know that as well. And she's just the prime example. She's a dear friend. I met her while she was going through some of this, and it's been my pleasure and it's been my gift to have her in my life as another healing sister. And I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, listeners, I give you Loretta Thomas. For her to tell you a little bit about her story. She'll give you 3 to 4 minutes to let you know about her story the way she'd like you to know her. And then we'll get into some questions and answers and eventually open it up for the listeners to come in as well. How's that, Loretta?
Great. Okay. Hi, my name is Loretta Thomas. I'm a 5th and 7th generation from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I fell compromised with my health, never thinking I would have to endure what most people should never and sometimes do, and not knowing where I had been the full year that I had been struggling. But when I woke up and disconnected from society, from technology, and not and even recognition of what my appearance had looked like, I then knew during my struggles what the importance of my fight needed to be and my reason to live. And one of the first envisions I had in my sepsis state, whether through coma, infection, fever, or flatlining, was the vision of my father and his sister who took the family after my grandmother died. In an opera view, and I reached out to my father, unable to move, thinking I had been in an accident. And I was paralyzed, not knowing where I was, but even I was restrained. And I remember reaching out to my father and saying, please help me. I don't want to leave. I want to fight. Teach me to be strong. I couldn't speak at the time, and this was just something that was a memory to me, not knowing I would have to endure 16 surgeries to follow. And the battle would only begin where I was unable to speak through a feeding tube, knowing that no one they could see me but couldn't hear me. I had no voice. My father, who was hard of hearing with all the machines and the equipment and as many surgeries as I had been in, made me determined and desperate to try to lip and whisper what I needed him to hear and to just hold on to my heritage and the love of life and wanting to live, to continue my journey, which was very difficult and still continues. I've been to the Mayo Clinic for my 17th surgery. I'm still compromised, but do knowing that I am going to live and I am going to have a life, my life battle of one day to the next. At any moment, I could be gone. Now I know I'm going to have a quality of life. My quality is still a struggle, but to know that I've endured it and I've survived it and I still battle and conquer with healing and meditation and lots of support and connections with other individuals who have endured similar to community, the tribe that pulls each other through.
Well, thank you, Loretta. Try to both get into the microphone here and continue our conversation. So first off, I want to thank you again just for even being here and sharing such a personal story. And like you said, you're still in that healing process. And you weren't here with me last week. I don't know if you heard the show, but one of the things that I hold is that until I take my last breath, I will be healing. And I think from what you just said, you maybe hold a similar attitude, huh?
Yes. You discover that every day you heal through something, through life, through challenges, through ailments, through struggles, stress, just what life gives us, the constant healing and a subconscious, but keeping your mind and using it to use the body, the vessel, to restore and replace what's been depleted of, whether it be through stress and just the society today and the mannerisms of how we interact with one another. So every day is a healing, if not for myself, what I project on someone else can affect and afflict on them, either healing in my own, or I can increase something that they could be going through or suffering. So after my struggle, I've learned to look at life differently, as not only a healing for myself, but those around me, because I play a role in society and in life and being here.
Actually, I think that's such an important point you make, and I want to highlight that here, that we're affected and we affect. And our healing process, every one of us is in a healing process from a broken relationship, a disease, myself with my own things going on. You know, we've all got them. And we really do affect others through our attitude, through our encouragement, as we said earlier about you, your inspiration. Yes, and we're not alone out here. And I like to say we're one, and we're these unique manifestations of the one that complement and challenge the other, even though we all know there is no other.
And I think that being able to have the experience to have fought for my life and have fought as hard as I have, and then transitioning back into a life, I came to realize that the effect my state of mind allows me to control what my body's enduring, and the ability of not allowing the elements of negative or carrying something that's not of a healing nature does impact my body and impact my ability to cope with what my body is doing. So at all times I find a purity of not only what goes in my body, but a purity of what comes out of my mouth and my mind, and how the role I play in other people's healing, because I would never want to impact something that's not of a good feeling or not of a coping feeling, or the ability to overcome what it is you are feeling. So I really try to live my life knowing where I've been and what I'm going to continue to go through, to be strong, to let people know there is not anything you can't overcome or you can't endure with your mind and your mentality and the support and the ability to channel
right. That
and the pain and the discomfort and the brokenness into something positive, because even in a stone you find a gem.
Yes, even in a stone you find a gem.
And it's the scars and what we've endured that build the character of the people we've become.
And there's a witness for the character.
Yes,
yeah,
and
for sure.
To be able to be the support at the times in our lives where we ail and where we age and we live.
Right. So you use the word transform. That's a word I often use in my healing. Give us a little insight about your perspective, and let's talk about that a little bit.
My transformation, I was like everyone else. You know, I lived days, complained of hard days, a lot of stress to affect me. You know, really didn't look closely at the value of the whole surrounding and being a life, that it wasn't until I so desperately wanted to live and I wasn't ready to leave this life as we know it, that my determination mentally was the state of mind, and it was the will that made me battle sepsis after sepsis and continue.
Let me intervene here. Tell us what sepsis is in a sentence.
I had a surgery where I actually leaked, and
what do you mean leaked?
I was perforated, or the connection didn't make on a small intestine.
Where was your surgery?
My surgery was in my abdomen,
okay.
And I had a reconnection done of the intestine.
Okay.
And at the time, the connection failed, and
okay.
I started to get that bad bacteria
oh.
that breaks down food into my abdominal cavity,
okay.
which then was poisoning me. I was poisoned to death and immediately went into a coma. And at that point, where I was and what I was enduring was not anything I had experienced in my living state.
Right.
And the things that mattered to me were things that I really took for granted in my living state. Simple thank you, simple appreciation, not of a celebration. You know, a birthday was an appreciation of that person's birth and the presence in my life and the impact which I know you are having and have impacted my life. And I celebrate everybody's birth that's affected me because it impacts each other's life and it impacts mine. So I try to be able to project that to others, knowing that there's something deeper within me that shows through, and I want to pass that to others.
Well, I would say you've gone past wanting to. It appears that you do, at least through our friendship and people that who we know jointly. You are truly a light of inspiration, as are many to hang with. And that contributes to our healing, and we contribute to others in that sense. And our listeners know that in their own lives.
Definitely. Through ailments and suffering and through pain, our natural defense is to want to isolate and want to endure privately or want to seclude. And it's in the seclusion when you're suffering that you really need the warmth and the embracing of the other healers, the people who have healed or who have endured, who have yet to endure their ailment. We've become an energy that supports mentally,
force.
Psychologically,
yeah.
A force.
And a field.
That
an energy field.
An energy field that allows us to regenerate and to battle what the body is trying and needs assistance in fighting.
Right, and you just said a moment ago, the healers we surround ourselves with. Unbeknownst to us, many times, people who don't call themselves healers are truly healers, including for some people, cats and dogs, if they have them. Now, for me, I like cats and dogs, but I'm allergic to them, so they're not healing for me. They just bring awareness to where I'm out of balance. And
pleasure or pleasure,
yeah.
Which is an emotion, stimulate
right.
The brain and endorphins. And so the first thing I wanted to do was isolate, but by embracing life and embracing people with a different outlook in life, brought the people around me that had the same need or the same force or had endured or are yet to endure their ailments. And so we've all been able to support one another and heal each other through a connection and an energy
right.
of just acquaintance and friendship and sincerity.
Right. And so in that sense, we're back to the term, the healing field again. And that's something that's co-created. You know, like Jesus said, wherever two or more meet, that was where it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing. Hey, guys, that's where it's happening, wherever two or more of us meet. And that's what we're talking about. We surround ourselves with other sentient beings who are in pain, who are healers, who are shamans, who are Western-oriented medical doctors, as well as Eastern-oriented and traditional wisdom tradition doctors as well. And, again, the people on the street who we smile at and who smile at us.
Impacts the ability to heal or overcome what you're enduring at that time.
Yeah.
And the way you treat someone else also does affect their ability to cope with what's ailing them that day. So the compassion and the kindness we spread through our sufferings and our scars and our ailments really make a big difference in society and affect a person's day overall at the end of the day.
Yeah. So we have a couple callers on the line. I just want to make an announcement for the number for you to call into today. If you do want to be online and talk to Loretta and myself, Dr. Jody Lang, here with Loretta Thomas. And the guest call-in number is 646-929-0461. That's 646-929-0461. We've got a couple callers on the line. And before we take you, I want to move into just one specific area, Loretta, that you have moved forward with that was mentioned in the article, and that is with food. You say it was a passion, but you, as I understand, in your healing, realized you came from a lineage, and in this lineage, you turned to your grandmother's. Yes, to the wisdom grandmother tradition, and literally found some healing for yourself that you're now sharing with others through food. So why don't you tell us, take a couple minutes and tell us a little bit about that phase of your life, how that came about, again, you know, 2-3 minutes, and then we'll open up to the callers. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually am from a very long line traditional family here in New Mexico and out of Spain. So food was always incorporated, but my grandmothers, my great grandmothers, we lived on the east side off of the land, very organic, blue corn and the things I grew up seeing. That
I'm just curious. I want to interject every once in a while with a question. Tell us about blue corn. What is blue corn? Most of our listeners who have no idea.
Blue corn.
It's not moldy, is it?
No, it's a corn that's grown and is harvested mostly in the native tribes of indigenous people, and the Spaniards brought between the Spaniards and the Indians. There was a natural corn that was a blue corn seed, which has a lot of health benefits, and it was very popular when I was very, very small. It was all over the land as a resource.
Hmm.
And a lot of other items were that you don't see today,
like
the blue corn became very scarce, and I wasn't able to find the resources available until after I woke up from my trauma, and it wasn't through the leaning on my tradition and my grandparents and great-grandparents, but I had been taught that
it was or it wasn't?
It wasn't available until after I got sick. I tried seeking it out prior, and then before my illness, it was unavailable, and after...
What was unavailable? The blue
corn?
The blue
corn in the organic form that I grew up and knew as a child through great-grandparents. When I started to recover, I created Little Flower Foods of Santa Fe Gourmet Tamales.
So what's the name of that company you created?
Little Flower Foods of Santa Fe Gourmet Traditional Blue Corn Tamales.
Yes, yes, and I've tasted some of those. For our listeners out there, if you get a chance, and Loretta will let you know how you can, they're super tasty, they're healing, and they're healthy. So keep going.
Well, what I did was the resources became available to me when I woke up, but I was still compromised.
What do you mean by that?
When I woke up from a coma after I went into the hospital with abdominal pain, and a year and a half later didn't recognize myself in the mirror from atrophying, from hair loss, from an appliance for digestive, like a bag. Correct, an ileostomy from, you know, that I had to live to nourish myself on.
Were you in a coma that whole time?
I was actually mostly in surgery, fighting to save my life.
Okay.
I had over a dozen abdominal surgeries. The sepsis was a battle that I really shouldn't have been here today, but it was through reaching out to my heritage and my ancestors in this time of sleep that I call it. These recipes and ingredients stood out to me, and when I did leave the hospital, even still compromised, resources became suddenly available. New Mexico farms that were 100% organic blue corn and white corn that weren't being utilized were available. I was able to recreate recipes and make them available to everybody with how I was raised, with organic and no pesticides and the purity of,
and no preservatives.
And no preservatives and the purity of just grown in your own local farm or your livestock, grass-fed. So I created the recipe to where everybody can enjoy an incorporated only animal product in the filling with the best quality products, allowing it to be vegetarian and vegan recipes, as well as created new recipes for the generations to come, bringing back traditional ingredients that are now seeming to become available to me, and no one else has been able to bring this back.
Well, I'm so glad you've done it, because I benefit from it especially, and of course all our friends and people around the country, quite frankly, because I know you ship them, benefit as well. And, you know, as you spoke, what I understood was there's a beauty in what you're doing. There's an aesthetic to this healing, and it's coming through in your cooking. And I think that's also very important in our healing, to appreciate the aesthetic and the beauty of creating. And I'm also curious in this moment, you haven't talked about your family. I'm just curious, your family's got to know that you're doing this. How is, if your grandma's alive or if your father's still alive, how are your family members with your new creations of the family lineage?
Surprise, I, through health and in sickness and determination, have...
Sounds like a marriage.
through health and in sickness and determination, and really the guidance of ancestors, that I have memories or have been gifted of memories in my sleep period and my struggle, that I not only started to pursue the dream and to give back to the community servants here in Santa Fe that transported me numerous times to the hospital. So, you know, the artist, my mother's a Spanish market artist and Spanish colonial, our stuff is in the museums. I want to be able to not only do the tamales for my lineage and my grandkids and leave something behind of a healthy nature for their future, but also through the arts and through music and through Art Hub of Santa Fe, which is another venue that I created to give back and promote generations of Spanish market artists so these traditions don't die with our ancestors, which the blue corn tamale would have. A lot of people aren't familiar unless you're of my grandmother or great-grandmother's age. So I'm very popular with the new generations as well as the ancestors and the older generations.
I think it's real important what you're talking about. And I also feel strongly, like I come from a different culture. I'm an Irish-German background. And it's so important for every one of us, including myself, including you and all our listeners and those who aren't right now listening with us, to go back to our own lineage. The herbs are there. The medicines from nature are there. The grandparents, great-great-grandparents, they do come to us in our dreams, as do our great aunts and uncles, with the wisdom, traditions and information. I mean, to the point you got recipes through your sleep state. And we know that sleep is one of the healing states to be in, as well as to receive
information, wisdom, enlightenment. Yeah, it is another way. So I tell you, I think what we're going to do now, it's okay with you, Loretta. We're going to open this up to callers. Okay?
And let's see what we've got today. Again, for those of you listening and you want to call in, please do so. The call-in number
is 646-929-0461, 646-929-0461.
And we will take our first caller. This is the part where I get nervous because we're talking electronics here, or radio or whatever that I don't have a lot of confidence in.
Hello, 313-288. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Hello.
What's your first name?
Hi. Oh, this is Alice in Michigan.
Alice in Michigan. Okay, Alice. So what would you like to share or ask questions about in relation to our topic today?
Well, I was just thinking about this healing process, and I've been through a lot of traumas, and my poor body has been through a lot of things, and I was so blessed to be in Santa Fe for the first one and last one, and both times surrounded by tremendous healers, chiropractors who knew, like, they could muscle test you and tell you about an organ's history from 5 years ago. And I would say,
yes,
what? Yeah, that's true. That's what happened. They were so knowledgeable and so healing. But one of the things that came to me as I was getting better from something one time is that I was reading about sleep and how sleep is in a 10-minute cycle, 20-minute cycle, 30-minute cycle, and therefore it was best to wake up a child after they've slept 30 minutes, not 20 or 15 or 16, but 30, and things like that. And I realized that my healing was taking place in a cycle. And so if I could relax and sit back and breathe deep, meditate, and pray, I would actually see like a ring going through my body. And then when it came around to the part that had the bump in it or, you know, stone in it, that would be the end of that moment for that cycle. So it would have to go around for, you would count, whatever, 9 cycles, 20 cycles, 21 cycles, and then take a deep breath. And there was another step closer to complete health. And I wondered if this lady had that same experience with watching herself get healed.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for calling in and asking the question and sharing some of your own story with us. We'll let Loretta answer that. But one thing that I really would like to hear from you about after she talks, if you're open to it, you mentioned the word prayer, and neither one of us had mentioned that yet. Mm-hmm. And so after Loretta shares a little of hers, she'll probably bring that in now. I'd like to hear your perspective since you mentioned prayer and the qualities that you experienced through prayer. So, Loretta, go ahead.
Actually, during my sleep state, the encounters or the dreams or the visions I had, I'm still explaining, but it was when I woke up and transitioned back into life, I really didn't have the ability or the elements to recognize myself or to physically endure, but I opted out through using minimal pharmaceuticals and taking myself to a level of where I had to meditation and prayer, or whether it be seeking enlightenment. I've even reached out, being in Santa Fe and the healers that they are. I started practicing Reiki to help form, to focus and use my mind to eliminate, and through massage or through touch, be able to relieve some of the discomfort that allowed me to continue to cope and to be able to wake up the next morning. But there's not a morning that yoga or Reiki or Jinshin Jitsu or prayer are not a daily part of my life.
It really had become my medicine in all my ailments, which I still suffer. But again, the more I ail, the deeper my meditation goes, and or my seeking relief or using the mind to heal the body. And I found that for me, that's what's gotten me through to where I am and can be and a productive citizen, even with disabilities, and to show that there are no limitations or physical ailments that you can't use, you know, some form of meditation or healing practice to cope and get through.
Yeah, so you talked about many things there, not just traditional prayer that we think of, but you talked Jinjitsu. And for those of us or those in the audience who are not familiar with Jinjitsu, what would you say that is?
This was stuff that I researched or reached out to until my battle. And it wasn't until my battle that I realized, you know, just crying or taking the medication or suffering no longer became a choice for me. So I started to seek alternative medications as well, and using meditation and learning to focus and use the forms of meditation and embracing a oneness and a unity of a light of overall life, earth, acquaintances, encounters, to really replay a domino effect on each other. And I really had to start to reach out and branch out to what helped me endure and be able to cope to where it made my suffering minimal and available.
But specifically, what is Jinjitsu?
Jinjitsu is using pressure points, and where you start closer to the palm, and as you push pressure, you actually relieve stress and pull any negative, or it feels really good to begin with.
Okay, right.
And it does, but you're using pressure points and reflexology on the feet and on the hands.
Right.
To be able to relieve some of the ailments that you have, or to bring a positive effect over what's the discomfort. So
and you can breathe into those
and
points.
Definitely.
With positive energy.
It's a lot of taking in the oxygen and really releasing the negativity of what you're enduring through pressure points, through focus, meditation, prayer.
Leave your body.
Yeah. So you're able actually to leave mentally what's ailing you and to put a boundary around that, that you can desensitize. I've learned to desensitize using alternative and healing. I've learned to desensitize the suffering that I endure and minimize, to where my quality of life, I can have a good quality of life with disabilities.
Great. So, Alice, in light of what Loretta said, did that answer some of your question a little bit?
Yeah, it seems like she had similar experience with slightly realizing it, but also being right involved with the perceiving of it and the receiving of it made her deeply aware at the same time, not knowing completely what that was, but still benefiting from it. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Right, and I think oftentimes we don't necessarily have full conscious awareness. In fact, most of the time we don't in the moment, and yet if we have awareness of any kind, there's a knowing in the moment, but there's not the cognitive or the logos that I talked about last week. We don't always have that. It's not necessary for healing, though it aids in the healing.
And the more you reach out to healers and to healing yourself using the environment and the people around you and the methods that are available, it really does put you into a different conscious state of living, and it does really impact the way you live your life.
Yes.
Because you're able to cope with things that
normally we wouldn't have been able to. And it's through constantly researching more and learning more and practicing other forms, because if it's working for me and my quality of life is good.
Continuing to increase.
And
I remember seeing you last summer. It was the first time I'd seen you in a long time. And the smile you had was, you were so tiny. Loretta's so tiny. We both are. But she was really tiny. I hadn't seen her in such a long time, but her smile carried her. And it was just wonderful to see you again and really feel your life force as faint as you felt to me physically. And there's a big difference between physical life. They're not separate, but physical life and that life force. That life force is what feeds our physical life. Yeah,
and
would you agree?
It feeds your physical life, and it really feeds and heals the vessel,
yes,
which is the body.
Yeah.
Without that force, you don't have the ability to fight or to cope or to endure or to continue. And so the vessel starts to collapse because it needs the will. And
the life force.
The life force, and that's the will to be forced to live and to heal yourself.
Right.
And the ability that we all have to do it.
Right. So, Alice, I want to come back to you for a moment. Again, you mentioned the word prayer. Loretta spoke about it. I would like for you to share with us and our listeners the role prayer has played for you in your healing.
Well,
Loretta, I mean, Alice.
I really liked the feeling as a child. From even saying prayers before bed or prayers over a meal, I liked how I felt. And I kind of knew that on some level, but of course, as a child, you don't pay much attention to it. It's part of your routine, you're going through it. But I really hated saying these long, involved prayers in church. A lot of them were in Latin. Mm-hmm. So
you must have been like
Loretta
and me with our Catholic background, huh?
Right.
Scripted.
It was scripted. Instead of understanding the prayers, I was kind of floating in the moment and feeling the vibration of everybody around me, and literally getting high on the intention of people's hearts. And when a really beautiful song would end or a long prayer would stop, I felt like I was still about 10 feet off the ground and slowly coming down. And when I became a Sikh, I used prayer more for a tool. And
for
I wanted
what?
To block out as a tool.
I wanted
to block out some of the perceptions I was getting from strangers and places and things, and I didn't know how to do it until they taught us very specifically how to build up the strength of your aura. And sometimes you would be to explain what the aura was, your vibration in general. They would say, think about a time when you're all focused, say your whole family's together for a celebration, but you're in public, like a wedding or a funeral or something, and someone comes into the scene that is not part of your understanding, your family. You feel their vibration, whatever they're into, starts to pierce into what you were thinking about or being affected by. And so I wanted to block that out. I wanted to know how to block out unnecessary things, because sometimes people would come in with a very busy mind and they have all this purpose and they have all these ideas. And I would be very vulnerable and very open. So the prayers helped me, the mantras, repeating of mantras helped me to close up my aura so I could hear what they said, but I didn't have to get pulled into it. And I like,
right.
Therefore I enjoy doing mantras.
Right, yeah. There's a healing power in the repetition, as we know from the Catholic background, like with the rosary, or those of us with a Buddhist or Dzogchen background, Hindu with the mantras that are said. And it is healing, and it is bringing in the healing life force. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing, and I'm so glad you called in. I hope you'll be with us again next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm going to let you go for now, if that's okay, and take our next caller.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling, and it was nice talking to you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
So 917-538, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. What's your first name?
My name is Lisa.
Lisa, where are you calling from?
From New Jersey.
Hi, well, welcome. We're so happy to have you with us here in Santa Fe, New Mexico today. And how are you fitting into this conversation and discussion today about healing with the seasons of our life?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm just listening.
Okay, well, you called in for a reason. So what would you like to have our other listeners hear or questions answered or...
I'm having continuous like struggles ongoing challenges with my boss, negativity and stuff, and I was listening, you know, to this aura thing and strengthening the aura and how like, you know, you're doing one thing and then there's this foreign energy that's invasive, kind of, and how to let it not affect me so emotionally. You know, that's what I'm.
Well, first off,
you know, how people can really upset you and trigger you and anxiety. Mm-hmm. How to not let that affect me so deeply? Why do I care so much? You know.
Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, I would like to begin addressing that. And first off, this is not something many people want to hear, but the truth of the matter is it's a choice. Whether we let others come into our space or whether we set our own boundaries. So that statement I just made already has two choices in there, setting our boundaries and a determination. Do I let you in? I like your energy. Oh, wow, you're cool. You just have a vibration as I walk in the room that I like, or I don't, and I don't feel healthy around it. So first off, it's a choice. And so I'm going to hand that to you and say you have a choice. And some people might not like hearing that, but the truth is that
no,
is the most empowering.
No, I don't mind hearing that. I think it's great that I have a choice. And I'm bringing more consciousness to the issue for myself when I do act like in an anxious way, when I read her messages to me, which I don't, you know, doesn't resonate well with me. But I can do it for a couple of breaths, and then I do go into the, into the anger mode or the I want to leave this job mode, you know. And
right, and you also know those
stressing out about it.
Right,
sorry?
And you have conscious awareness that those are also choices where you choose to go in that moment, whether it's anger or fear or anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's easier said than done. There's not a question about
that.
No,
I think that sometimes I don't think it's a choice. I think my anxiety just naturally tends to be there. Maybe it's an addictive pattern of mine, you know. Maybe that's my addictive pattern that I need to let go of. And I'm so addictive to that feeling that I who knows? I don't know. I have to work on it in order to, like, figure it out or, you know, learn.
Okay, so Lisa, I want to thank you for bringing up the term an addictive.
Yeah, thank you.
Toys, addictive. However, another way to say that would be an attachment to an identity. And most of us have an attachment to our identity, which is story, our narrative. And we don't even know how to begin to get out of that. We can talk about that. But the fact that you are bringing this up is such a gift, because until we have conscious awareness, we're not able to even address it. And then in addressing
it,
we can begin to heal. And I don't know if you heard my presentation last week, but I presented my home holistic model of healing that I created back in 1989. And for real healing to occur, one must incorporate the physical, which is your body, your breathing, the emotional. You feel the anger, the anxiety. We have to embody these. The mental, the thoughts, oh, that darn woman or whatever. I'm sure it's much worse sometimes, you know, the thoughts. The psychological, where do I get meaning in life? Well, are you getting it in that situation? Sometimes we feel forced to stay in a situation, whether it's a marriage, a work situation or other, because we believe that we don't have other choices or we've got to pay the bills. Those are truths, but they're only relative truths. Those are not absolute truths,
no.
And that's what we're talking about when it comes to healing. And then there's the spirit, and then there's the spiritual piece, which is the espiritus, the Latin. And without the spiritual, the espiritus, the spirit, the breath, we have no life on this plane.
It took me. I can understand what you're feeling, and fortunately, when I had to learn to use my mind and not allow the effects of other individuals trigger my emotions, I had to take control of my emotions and how I allowed other people to impact me. I had gone bald. I had been on a, you know, wheelchair. I've gotten criticism. I was felt sorry for. I was frustrated. I didn't like what the doctors were telling me. So the first few months were my hardest point, because my happiness and my fulfillment was coming from other people. And it took me to realize that they were affecting and causing an effect on my emotions that was affecting my body.
But that's because at that time you didn't have conscious awareness that you had choice, right?
Yes. So when I realized that I made the choice, that my mind and I was the only one that could allow someone to impact me emotionally, physically, I mean, it was really my choice. So as I started to understand this and practice it more frequently, not to control my emotions and not let other people have that control, I started to desensitize myself, and my happiness or healing no longer came from other people's approvals, and I found it within myself, and I found deeper meditation and deeper forms that gave me and empowered me to take my life.
And Loretta, that's a central point, what you're talking about. When you claimed it yourself and you started finding it within yourself, can you talk a little bit about that process of, you know, kind of walk us through what that process is when we finally have conscious awareness and we make a choice? Those are the two biggest, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so once we make that choice, talk to us, using your own example, how that happens so that others can benefit.
But before I got sick, I think I was like everybody else, just reacted. You know, there was road rage. There were people that would trigger just typical life things on news that affected me, work or health or doctors, news I didn't like. So I spent a lot of my time in a negative state, which took a toll on my body and my sleep and my stress level and my... It became an ailment, and I started to pick up what exactly other people were trying to project or wanting me to pick up. And I had to make a choice of what was important to me. It was my health, my body and my healing, and it was my deterioration if I chose to let it engulf me.
Okay, so you gave the example like road rage. Okay, so walk us through an example. Let's say you're sitting there in traffic. We don't have much here in San Francisco, but in comparison to the East Bay of San Francisco or Dallas in particular. But so you're sitting in the traffic and there's road rage. Is your first response?
My first response is to do something to impact the person that's angry by waving or allowing them to go first. Things that would affect my day if someone were to cut me off it would put, again, have the ability to, if I allowed it to affect my mental state. So by choice, I do the opposite to impact theirs.
Okay, so you had an awareness in that moment is what I'm hearing you say. That's what I'm trying to distill here. I want to distill.
I developed awareness when I realized that the body and the vessel started to tap ailments and the ability to allow people to affect.
Yes, but I'm talking specifically now. I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit. You're sitting in road rage.
Yeah.
Somebody comes over and honks at you and cuts you off and flips you off. What's your first response before anything?
I will pull over and let them pass, assuming they're in a hurry.
Okay.
Or I'll get out of the way. Or I'll wait.
Have you always done that, or is that now?
No.
Okay, that's my point.
Yes.
In the old days, what did you do?
I was like everybody else. I reacted, and I was my emotions were picked up from other people.
Yes, your blood pressure go up?
Blood pressure went up. I reacted like everybody else.
Did you have thoughts?
I had a lot of thoughts. I had a lot of emotions.
That were positive or negative?
Negative.
See, girlfriend, I need you to say these so that we can
tell
them apart.
They were
negative,
it wasn't until the negativity became something that attacked my vessel at the time. My body was needing healing.
Yes, yes. We're back to road rage.
Yes.
So now you have an awareness that you have choice. So now when that happens, you pull over. That's what I'm hearing you say. Wow, there's another guy who's not being so nice. I'm just going to pull over, get out of his lane of energy, negativity, basically.
You just have to remove yourself from what's going to affect your emotions without you giving permission. And you really you can choose how people affect you by reacting. And that became what helped my body heal and help me cope with life, because you're always going to find people who have not learned to
be
affected or
be kind, compassionate,
or do not realize that their actions will impact somebody else's, who may be enduring something more traumatic or physical. So by being an example, it changed my life, and now it comes like a blink of an eye.
It's great
practice.
Exactly. And so,
lifestyle.
As you just said, it becomes a new practice. And we talked about conversation started, didn't you mention, Lois, an addictive way of being? And now we're talking about a new practice. And it's not about getting addicted to a new way. It's a way of moving forward. What's real important is we don't get addicted to any of them,
ultimately. Exactly. You have to be able to know how to use the energy and your ability to love yourself and take care of yourself in whatever means you need. Find the ability, it gets easier. And as it gets easier, you find you're less affected by negativity or by projections that people want to trigger emotions. You're more in control of your emotions.
Right. So, how's that, Lois, for answering your question? Lisa. Oh, I'm sorry. I knew it started with an L. I apologize. How's that for answering your question? Hello?
Hi.
Yes, I say how is that, what Loretta and I've had to share with you in response to your question?
Yeah, really appreciate it.
I think, were you with us last week when I did the show?
Maybe, yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, I talked about healing, and I did a breathing exercise with us at the end. Do you remember that, or were you with it?
No. No, I wasn't there.
Okay. Well, I encourage you to listen to last week's presentation, because the whole focus was on a healing model that incorporates conscious awareness, choice, the five dimensions of our beingness that I lay out as physical, emotional, mental, psychological, and spiritual. And then I ended the program, in addition to talking about the gift that pain plays in an integrative healing process, which is part of my second book to come out this year toward the end of summer, I ended it with a breathing exercise. And you may want to listen to it, if nothing else, just for the breathing exercise to get a little input. And because you did mention breath, so you've got that awareness, and you might as well use it, yeah?
Yeah, I will look at it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for calling in, and I hope you'll be with us again next week.
I will be. Thank you.
Aha, you're most welcome.
Thank you.
So we don't have any other callers on the line right now. If anybody would like to call in and talk to Loretta while she's here, or myself, Dr. Jody Lang, about the seasons of our life, please call in at 646-929-0461. Let's see if we have a new caller on the line. Oh, we've got a new caller on the line. Let me see about taking this caller. 917? Are you with us?
It's me again.
Oh, it's you again. Well, you
I have a question.
New caller. Oh, you called in again. Okay. Yes?
No, I didn't call in again. That's what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
say
that.
My question is, you said you had lost all your hair. Did you do anything to get it all back, or how did that go?
You know, in reality, with my sickness and the nutrition and digestive issues, I went completely bald and was 70 pounds. That was part of where I had to learn to really use my state of mind to not allow the criticism and allow the effects of reactions of individuals to affect my self-esteem and my mental state because I was healing at that time.
Okay. Did you get
Well, you know, it comes and it goes, and that's part of the health issue that I'll always have. But I did have to learn to find beauty within myself. I do some natural remedies of, you know, warm olive oil, just in the thinning spots, which help, you know, rejuvenate the pores. But I turn to the natural remedies.
Great. I think warm olive oil sounds good, like a treatment.
Treatment once a week. Yeah, and you just actually, you know, cover it with a warm bag and leave on for an hour every couple of days, and it does help rejuvenate the pores and the hairs. I've had to research a little bit of natural ways to take care of myself because I'm very hypersensitive to chemicals and so forth. So I did a lot of research. And being able to accommodate and fit in with society and not stand out or be criticized, which really did impact my physical and my personal attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes from part of just healing and using the natural elements around us.
Do you heat the olive oil a little bit, or?
Yeah, you just lightly heat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can put any olive oil in it.
Yeah, any olive oil, and just try it, and I you know, it should work for you. If not, there's you know, a lot of natural grocery stores that offer alternatives and herbs that do help with your nail and your hair. So there are supplements and medicinal stuff that you can use. But thank you for asking.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here on the show. Very good quality work.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. And thank you for calling
thank
in.
You both.
We look forward to being here next week.
I'll be a regular. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Loretta. It looks like we've got another caller. Let me see if I can get this person on the line.
Hi, 843-817. Can you hear me?
That's me, yes.
Hi, where are you calling from, and what's your first name?
My first name is David, and despite the 843 area code, I am in Santa Fe, and I have a quick question for Loretta.
Okay, well, first off, thank you for calling in, and welcome back to Santa Fe, or at least welcome as a tourist or whatever you're doing here. The beautiful place.
Well, I'm a resident, but thank you.
Oh, okay, all right, great. Anyway, what's your question for Loretta?
Well, Loretta, I picked up some of what your tribulations were, and I understand that some of them, a lot of them, are certainly triggered by the physical conditions. And you talk a lot about not allowing other people to impact you negatively. But how do you do that? Because there is an awful lot of negativity out there. And unless you're living in a cave, you're going to encounter it. So do you have a mechanism that allows you to change that rather than change the person that's directing it to you?
Well, David, thank you very much for your question. Loretta, how do you want to attempt? That's a huge question.
Well, I set goals for myself. And
like what?
I really believed in the gourmet tamales, Little Flower Foods of Santa Fe. So that is my raison d'etre, which is my reason to exist, to leave behind the legacy. I want to get back to the community. So Art Hub of Santa Fe is another business. I just want to be able to show that you can give back to the community and not only just take from the community, but it's a healing for everybody because it shows a support system and a family, like a tribe is really what we have become, where we're all connected and we all encounter and we all have to give back because it brings positive to people, positivity to life and to meaning to some of these agencies and charities. So I throw myself into being passionate about my community and what I believe in and touching other people's lives.
But specifically, in addition to giving to community, how do you protect yourself from negativities coming in?
I do a lot of meditation, and it's really putting myself in a mental state. I really do the mantras. Any mantra I set for myself, I try to fulfill, and I find myself chant it more than some days more than necessary, depending on what's ailing me or how I'm feeling, and it really carries me through to not allow it to run my day or control my actions.
Do you find that you sit and meditate, as an example, and that you also, let's say, to go back to your road rage example, do you find yourself going to a place of mantra and meditation when those things come up?
Oh, definitely, because as being human, naturally, to everybody else in society and our human nature and react, that's what we do. So I'm constantly finding myself, putting myself in a state of mind and having to chant or repeat a mantra of positivity that only I can allow the effects on my body and my mind that I want. So I take what I want or what I need from conversations without allowing to be absorbed or to absorb someone else's negative.
Let me ask you this. So you do that in
the negative situation. Do you find that you ever are in a really happy place, let's say with your boyfriend or with a group of family or other friends, where you're feeling great? Do you have the wherewithal in those situations when you're feeling the real plus to say the prayer, to say the mantra, to keep it going?
Actually, that's the bigger question, because after my battle, my energy level, knowing that even with a compromised life, I was going to live. So I was overexcited to the point of unable to really focus. I had so much energy that I had survived, and I was the statistics that shouldn't have survived. And through the Mayo Clinic surgery, that there's a quality of life that I can still maintain. So I've actually find myself doing mantras more frequently to keep myself from being overexcited and overdoing, because I want to live, and life and the connection and the force is beautiful and carries me through the life. So I do mantras both to keep myself focused and not overexcited, because I can easily do that.
Yeah, so you also do it as a sense of gratitude.
Gratitude, definitely.
So
a sense of gratitude, and thank you for calling, and I hope I can have helped you in any way or answered your question.
Well, I think that, you know, like Dr. Jody, I'm Irish too, so we have our own form of therapy, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily always healthy, but it is what it is. And it's nice to see somebody that is really taking charge of her life in a positive direction and turning, you know, the proverbial turning lemons into lemonade. So I wish you well on your journey, and I know that you're going to make it, because you sound very positive. And thank you very much for sharing with us.
David,
thank you
calling in, and I sure hope you continue to enjoy Santa Fe, even though you've got a phone number that's out of the area.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. I'll be next week.
Thank you much. Ciao. Bye-bye. So 912-242, are you on the line? 912-242, are you on the line? Well, hello? All right, let's go to our next caller. Didn't cut anybody off. Hi, 505-920, are you on the line? Hello? We can't hear you.
Yes.
Could you talk into the... Hello?
Hello?
Hi, yes, I need... Yeah. If you're on speakerphone, you'll need to take it off so we can hear you.
Hello?
Hello? Hi. Who are we talking to? Where are you?
Okay. How do I do that?
Just tell... Well...
Fiona?
Fiona? Oh, Fiona. Well,
yes.
Hi. We're so happy to have you be our last caller of the day, or it seems like it so far. How are you?
I am doing better and better, and I'm so thrilled to be able to talk to both of you at the same time.
Yes.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So... Yes, this is a huge service. And Loretta, I really was going to just listen in because to support you as a friend and hear what you have to say. But two things have come up in this course of this conversation. One is, as some, at least the two of you knew, know, I was also very ill during part of the time that Loretta was very ill. And Loretta, you managed, even through your illness and your pain and your struggles, you helped me. You were there, you brought me tamales, and you checked in on me, and I'm wondering, first of all, how did you find the strength to help me as I was going through my own health battles? And you must have been so exhausted from your own. And does that speak to the fact that, at least I believe that when we help others, we help ourselves? And did maybe reaching out to help me take some of that focus off of your own suffering? And it just felt good to be able to find more strength. Maybe it energized you to reach out and to help me. And I'm just wondering how, what kind of process that was for you.
Well, first off, Fiona, thanks for calling in and reaching out to Loretta and myself today. It really kindled my heart for sure that you called in support of the radio program about seasons of our life. And as you know, Loretta is our first guest in this series, and I'm sure she'll come back at a later date, or I'm going to twist her arm and not break it down to get her to come back and talk about these things. So thank you for being so supportive of two of your sister friends. And that might, Loretta, go ahead.
Part of my ability to do that at that time, Fiona, was because not only was it a distraction for me, but I felt like through my own trials, I wanted to isolate, I wanted to endure, I wanted to surrender to the ailment that I found by reaching out and being compassionate and the energy and the healing that I needed to be able to give back, and I needed to be compassionate of someone else's suffering and ailment that really allowed me to heal myself and to be of a support and path healing. And this group, this life force that we have to those around us that are suffering as well, and I hope we continue and others learn the ability to do it within their own groups of people that they can learn to put aside what ails them and reach out to those that are suffering that want to be where I was struggling to avoid being. So it was good for me, but I wanted us to share that force and that energy of healing and pass it as a life force and one in a whole unity in a group and be able to share with you the support emotionally and physiologically so you can heal your own body.
So, Loretta, I'm hearing you say that, yes, it was a part of your healing, but it, quite honestly, and I respect the fact that you said this, you said it twice at least, that it was a distraction for you. And there's something about distractions, as long as we don't get attached to them, that's also healing. But the fact that you said that, I think also gives permission. It's unfortunate that we need it, but it gives permission for others to know that, you know, when we first start off with something, we may start off with it being a distraction and it turns into a real positive expression of gratitude or something like that. But I'm sincere in this. Thank you for that, because I don't think that's something that's easy for a lot of people to want to admit.
And you know, and the love that we have for life, and everyone has that breath, and we're all here as, you know, in a form of brother and sister related, that we're all here. So I the love and the compassion and the empathy I have for others suffering, having endured my own, made me more compassionate to reach out to those, to not allow anyone to slip into isolation and to be able to heal someone else or distract them from their ailments, or at least to know that there is a force of people that hold and heal one another. And for me, that was wanting to help you as well as needing your help and helping myself heal. I think it was part of the friendship and the love and the empathy and compassion that I learned to develop through my
near-death experience. I became compassionate to everybody's sufferings because suffering is something very hard, and you really have to learn to find alternatives and heal yourself as a whole force and a group, because we stand stronger together than we do alone. And at these stages in our lives, especially when we have ailments or we're suffering, that's the one place we want to be, is alone. And that's the place that we probably, it's easier to heal when you're not by yourself and you have help.
I know for myself, I often tell people when I'm invited to go dance, which you girls know I love to dance and enjoy it very much. And that's part of what has allowed me to get out a little more, is my love for dance and my commitment to myself to be more social. But it's also very easy for me to stay at home. I love my home. But I suppose if I'm real honest about it, sometimes that could be an escape or a deflection, so that I don't have to be in a crowd and interact, and actually have more energy to protect myself from these other energies. We've not talked about my health issues today, and we're not going to. I'll bring them up another time. But I've got very strong health issues with my own heart and a very recent major fall and broken bones that I'm sitting here with today. But again, I don't want to bring that in to the discussion. So, Fiona, what would you like to share with us in these last couple minutes?
Well, what comes to mind is the fact that at least what I found to be true in my life, and with the way I felt and I've seen other people behave, is that it's those of us who have suffered to that level of being close to the end of our lives. And we end up with that kind of compassion that might even be hard to get to until you've been to that point. The other friend who really, really was there for me all those months was Marianne, who herself almost died, you know? And so it's like when we're on that place of, wow, we all three of us could have so easily lost our lives. And so maybe it just makes it easier to reach out that, wow, I've been through what you're going through, and I know how you're feeling. And so it's just this natural thing that we do. Maybe. I'm not sure, but it came up.
There comes a strength that with the compassion and the suffering, we're allowed to take from what we've endured and those that haven't endured it, to be able to enlighten them or give them strength that there can be inner healing and healing through peers and groups and other healers and forms, and being open to it, to that we got through it, that it's, I'm trying to set an example for those that are yet to endure it, to know that you have the ability mentally, physically,
emotionally,
and
mentally,
psychologically, and it's all that is going to keep the body in its living state. And it's, you know, the breath we take really regenerates us. Every morning we wake up, every time we breath, it's a new, fresh breath. You exhale whatever you felt. And with that, should you be able to expel or purge the emotional and the negativity? So thank you, Fiona, for calling.
Yes, thank you, Fiona, for calling in. We've got a little less than 5 minutes left, and I'm going to do a breathing exercise with us, a very simple one that we can do when there's road rage or when we're feeling anxiety or we're trying to go to sleep at night, something that simple, but oftentimes we can't do, and that's fall asleep. So, Fiona, thank you again for calling in, and please be with us any other time you can. All radio shows are archived, and anytime you can call in live, I love all of you to call in. I love hearing from you, and I know Loretta's enjoyed it today, and like I said, hopefully we'll get her back another time. So I'll let you go,
okay,
now, Fiona.
Okay, it was great to talk to both of you. Thanks, Jody, for hosting this program.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. Love you. Ciao. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you, Loretta.
Bye. Love you, Fiona. Ciao. So we've got about 3.5 minutes left. And so what I'd like to do is end the show, and that's what we're going to do, is end the show with a breathing exercise that I introduced you to last week. It's very simple. So if you could get yourself in a comfortable sitting position or lie down if you like. But if you are sitting, have your back straight, same as if you were lying, but relaxed. It's very important to relax with your feet flat on the ground, your legs uncrossed. And we're going to breathe into our nose and out of our mouth. And for the moment, become aware of your own breath, your own natural rhythm, your own inhale and your exhale. And for this exercise, we're going to breathe in to the count of 4, and we're going to exhale to the count of 8. And the breath in is going to come through your nose, down your throat, through your lungs, your diaphragm. I want you to notice with your hand, the palm of your hand, your tummy, as your breath fills your tummy, diaphragm area. And as you exhale, to notice it getting smaller, your tummy. We're going to actually do a circle breathing. We're not going to stop breathing. We're going to breathe in, and then we're going to breathe out. And as you breathe in, whatever color is healing for you in this moment, I'd like for you to consciously consider bringing that color in, filling your body with it, and as Loretta mentioned a moment ago, consciously being aware of the negativities, the toxins, the anxieties, the fears, releasing from your body on the exhale. So let's begin. To breathe in, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5. Push it, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And without thought, allow your body to stay in this state and feel the nurturing you've just given to yourself. I thank you all for being with us today. I thank my guest, Loretta Thomas.
Thank you, Dr. Julie Lang. Thank you so much for having me today and listening to my story.
Thank you for sharing it. We've all benefited from hearing about your season of life and how you're healing. Well, as they say on Blog Talk Radio, the British lady has spoken. So I will be with you next week. Please do call in. Share the program with your friends, and I thank you all for being with us, and continue to heal. Remember to breathe, breathe, breathe.